Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Self Love Club, the podcast chatting about stuff that matters, created and hosted by me, broadcaster Belle Crawford. Thank you so much for joining me. On the show, we're joined by Mitch James. You've probably heard his chart-topping songs on the radio, or maybe they're on your playlist, contributing to the over 200 million streams of his music. I first got to know Mitch when he got signed, and it's been so cool to watch his success in the music industry and see him grow. We reflect on it all in this conversation. Mitch has released a song called Bird in the Hurricane, which was written about a close friend navigating a low point in their life. And it's a song to help people feel like they're not alone. This conversation is raw. I really admire how honest Mitch is. And a trigger warning, this conversation discusses suicide, not in graphic detail, but if you or someone you know needs help in New Zealand, you can free text and call 1737. I'll leave a list of places you can get help in the show notes. Before we get into it, please make sure that you're subscribed on your podcast app, hit follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and follow us at Self Love Club Podcast on Instagram, where you can watch videos of this conversation. Let's get into it. Mitch James, welcome to the Self Love Club. We just had a bit of a moment before because we haven't seen each other in so long. We used to always chat in the radio world, so it's really cool to see you.
It's been years, Belle. I'm so glad to see you. It's been too long.
Oh, yeah. So excited to have a chat with you today. So we're going to talk about your new music and what you've been up to and everything. But for those who, you know, probably know of your songs, know of your music, tell us a bit about yourself and what you've been up to.
My journey with music's been a bit of a crazy one, probably a bit unorthodox in terms of most of the industry. But very long story, very short. I went over to London about 12 years ago now, which makes me feel extremely old. But yeah, I basically finished school and I had this wild dream of wanting to be a big musician. And so I went over there and played a billion open mics and bust all the time. It didn't really work out for me. Slept on the street a few times, did it a bit rough. And yeah, I went back to New Zealand, to Dunedin, hung out with my friends for a little bit, gave it a second go and put some videos online, which ended up getting me signed. And then from being signed, I went on another whirlwind journey of the whole music industry, which I wasn't really prepared for, which I'm sure we'll touch on today. But yeah, I was really blessed to have like some success out the gate. And that kind of just, yeah, led me down the crazy, crazy music path. And it's definitely had its ups and downs. And the career's probably been a bit down since COVID. And that's probably the story for everyone. But yeah, I sort of went away for the last few years and ignored all the craziness of the industry and just focused on what I wanted to portray in my music and who I wanted to be going forward. So yeah, we sort of ended up in the place that we are now and sitting here talking to you. And it's been a crazy journey, but a very interesting one.
Yeah, oh, it's so cool. And yeah, we're going to talk all about what you've been up to, your new music, which we're loving. It's kind of crazy looking back on, like, just it happened really, I don't know, it probably didn't seem like it for you because, you know, you've been wanting to do that for so long. It was so hard and, you know, a lot of hard work and everything, but it kind of, your story's pretty amazing. And I remember sort of being, I guess, interviewing you around that time and observing it going, wow, like your story was pretty crazy, you know, like going to London and yeah, like doing it rough a bit, coming home and then getting it just, I'm so proud of you. Like, and all the streams you got was awesome. Yeah. You're like, it blew up pretty quick, hey, like when it sort of went all out there, which maybe it didn't feel quick to you, but it's pretty cool. Yeah,
like I had the world in mind, so I was still like, where's the world? but yeah, I mean, looking back, it was such a crazy quick rise, and it grows you up a lot, honestly. This industry is so it's like a fishbowl, everyone looking at you. And like when you're just a kid and you still don't know who you are really. Like I was only like 20 or so once once everything started to first work for me. And I'm sure anyone that's past the age of 20 can say pretty confidently they didn't have their shit figured out by then. So yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oh no, it's awesome. And yeah, really cool to see what you've, you know, been up to and then what you're doing now. So talk us through your new song, Bird on a Hurricane, which is out, and like, it's got a lot of meaning behind it. So we're going to really focus in on that. You know, what's the story behind the song? And I guess we'll talk all through what you're hoping to achieve with it.
I was in Thailand last year and I sort of spent my last money on getting a couple of songwriters that I really believed in to come over and work on some music with me. And it was after a big tour and I was pretty jaded with the whole thing. And my personal life was going pretty crazy. And one of my best friends who has been my best friend since basically day dot, was going through some really crazy mental health issues that were so hard to fathom and rationalize. And I was so far away at the time being in Thailand. I actually flew home early to go and see her. But yeah, it was playing on my mind. I couldn't stop thinking about her and what was going on. And it was just, without getting into too much detail, it was just so such a crazy manifestation of mental health issues that it was just, I needed to write a song to show her how much I loved her and how much I care. And like the theme that I kind of felt from both my end and her end was just like helplessness about the situation. And so the song Bird in a Hurricane was sort of a nice little visual to imagine this cute little bird just flying into a storm and basically being pushed around and bullied around by the storm and basically coming out of it, of the other side. So it was a very tough song to write and very confronting, because it was basically at the stage where like we didn't know if A, we were going to get her back, or B, if she was going to make it through it at all. So it was a very, very tough time. And it was a song I felt that like had to be written, and it had to be written very delicately, because, yeah, I mean, you don't want to reveal too much and about your personal life, but you also want to make it general enough for people to understand and put through their own situations. Because I know that I'm definitely not alone in terms of feeling helpless about a loved one going through something. So it was a very, yeah, important song and one that I'm just super proud of and hope can help people through their own journeys.
Yeah, no, I think that's so special. And like you say, it's so hard. I can imagine as a songwriter wanting to, like, you know, bear your soul, but then also in a deeply personal situation, having respect for others who are involved as well. And I think it's so beautiful that you've been able to come to a place to, you know, achieve that. Like, it's really cool.
Thank you. It was something that I felt like that just needed to be done. And I know that so many people are going through this, and whether they're on the side of me or the side of my friend. And yeah, I feel like it's our duty as songwriters and artists to stop making the perfect pop music that's, you know, trying to climb this chart or that chart. And I've fallen into that trap many a time. Yeah, I just felt like some realness needed to be put back, and it's definitely real.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing with music, though. So many of us, like, music is that universal language that if you're going through a tough time, it's one of those things. I know for myself, and I can imagine it is with you, it's one of those things that can be literally one of the only things that can really help, or maybe just like verbalize how maybe you're feeling. Or it's just such a special thing, music, and getting you through those really tough times. I know, like, for a lot of us, we feel that music, without it, it literally helps save our lives a bit, because it makes you feel really good, and it's like, you know what I mean, you get it. Yeah
absolutely. Like, I find it such an honor that I have a gift to be able to like give that feeling to people, because like I don't listen to my music and feel that, but I definitely listen to other people's music and be like, wow, like the fact that I could bring that feeling to other people is crazy. Because like you say, it is the universal language. You know, there's so much politics in the world and people disagreeing on this and that, but I always say the one thing that every person has in common is music. Whether you're in India and you listen to Hindi music, or you're in South America, you listen to flamenco music, it's all one thing that keeps us all together. And it is so powerful. And I think that's what I hope to achieve from this song. Is every now and then you'll get a message on Instagram from someone saying, this song saved my life, or or this song is my me and my partner's wedding first dance song or whatever it is. And what I really hope to achieve from this is just those moments to make sure that people are feeling heard and understood through these situations, because I didn't really feel like there was a song or a piece of art or a person I could talk to that could understand or validate the situation that I was going through. So I really hope that people can get that out of the song.
A lot of people are going through, whether it's themselves, people in their lives, we all have mental health, right? Regardless of if you are someone that gets depressed, anxious, or whatever's going on for you, it's a normal human emotion. So at different points, you'll be experiencing those feelings, right? What you're doing too is, even though we're all experiencing those things, we'll sometimes have little moments where we're like, talk about it. But then, and it's not like you got to talk about it all the time, but it's kind of like, I think we're just always trying to just get on with it and not really talk about it, if you know what I mean. Even though it is a lot better than it used to be, that people know that it's okay to be vulnerable and share these things. And I've heard you talk about how a lot of people don't realize they can, you know?
Absolutely, especially in this country, Belle. Like, New Zealanders are like incredible at being like, she'll be right. And I feel like it's my duty as an artist to be like, you know, I always thought that like growing up and becoming an artist and being in the position that I am now was always such a dream that I thought, awesome, like I'll never have to deal with that shit because I'll be fulfilled. And I think as you get along in life, everyone knows, no matter who you are, that you're going to have moments, you're going to have patches where everything isn't all good. And yeah, everyone is getting better at talking about it, but I feel like we can all be a lot better about it. And people like to help people and say like, I'll be there for you, whatever, but it's actually probably a bigger onus on yourself to, when you are in those situations, about speaking up about it. And it seems very cliche at this point and super talked about, but I still feel like as a society, we can be so much better about that. And I think that's why I wear it so hard as an artist, because I know that people are looking at me and through my music and the way I portray myself as, and well, what I would hope to be, an honest person. And you can't be an honest person if you're not being vulnerable about how you're feeling, basically. And I've always been very open about that, and I'll continue to be open about it, because yeah, I'm not very happy with the way that our New Zealand society portrays it.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? You look at other cultures and it's very, people love to tear each other down as well. So there's a lot of tall poppy here, and it's not just unique to New Zealand. It happens in Australia, around the world, but yeah, there's a lot of, it's deeply ingrained in our culture. And, you know, we come from generations of our grandparents. I remember hearing mine be like, oh, depression or mental health doesn't exist. You know, anxiety is a made up thing. And it's like, they didn't know any better. It's that generational thing that we're breaking a bit, you know, and our parents, we're teaching them. And if maybe they already know, but you know what I mean? Like, it's very much a shift that may take a bit of time.
Yeah, totally. I feel like it's the way of approaching it as well, because I kind of get what the oldies are saying, you know, like, oh, get on with it. But it's like, it's not that easy, guys. It's not that straightforward. But it's, yeah, like, yeah. I am a big believer in, you know, trying to put the things in place in your life that will are the building blocks and the foundation of a solid mental health. But you can do all of those things and you still find yourself in those holes sometimes. So yeah, I think that the more that people like me and you that have a platform can talk about it, it has such a greater impact that we don't even know and can't even in touch and feel with our own hands. Because I think just by setting the example and just having a chat with your mates, honestly, is so, so important. And yeah, hopefully the oldies will come around someday.
Yeah. No, bless their souls. I feel like they're, but you know what Absolutely. I mean? Like, I think that's part of why it is like this. And because it's, you know, from, I guess, the countries that founded New Zealand, that's very much in their culture too. So it is coming right, and it's so much better than it used to be. I remember not even that long ago, if you talked about anxiety, people were just like, that's weird, or, you know, I feel like now it's a lot more talked about. I think it's a global shift too.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I was at the gym the other day and I saw two guys that I used to go to school with, great guys, but I was just in the middle of my workout and I didn't really want to talk to anyone, and I had a full-blown panic attack at the gym. You know what I mean? Like, this shit is, it's everywhere, and it's so common. And I just, yeah, I think the more it's talked about, the better, because as soon as it becomes this normal thing that we all talk about, it's just a normal thing that we all talk about, and then we can move forward as a group so much quicker and easier when we just acknowledge it as a part of life, instead of being like, oh, you fucking weirdo, or like, that's not real, you can't be depressed, or whatever, you know.
It can be such an isolating thing to experience as it is, that I feel like when you're in that moment, I don't know about you, but you can overthink, worry, and it makes it more complicated and scary than it needs to be, when really the conversation, it is hard to have these conversations, but it's probably keeping it simple of just saying how you feel, or talking to people and checking in on them. And I know that's not like an easy thing to say, like, oh, just tell people how you feel. I understand it's more complicated than that, trust me. But I think we can just overcomplicate it, tiptoeing around it. And then when you're someone who's mentally unwell, you just don't want to be a burden, you're overthinking, and it just makes it like a big monster, really.
Yeah, I've always found that, like, it's even on both sides of the spectrum, like, the hardest bit about it is, like, literally the first sentence. And, like, what? I don't know, maybe I'm just an emotional guy. But, like, I feel like once I get the first, like, sentence out, or, like, when someone I'm like, there for, is the hardest bit is, like, yo, like, I'm kind of feeling like shit. And then once the floodgates open, it all comes. Like, at least that's how I've found it. And, yeah, I think just addressing it is, and when it's the elephant in the room and you're like, oh, fuck, but I don't want to bring the mood down with the boys, or, you know, like anything like that. It's, if your friends love you, they love you. You know what I mean? And at least I can only speak for myself. Like, I could be in the middle of the greatest individual moment of my life, and someone that I love says, I'm not feeling well, I will drop whatever I'm doing to be there for them. And I'm sure that you would be the same. I'm sure everyone we know would be the same. It's just that, yeah, it's just what we're talking about. It's just that stigma around opening up the conversation is the hardest part. And it's great to set that example and talk about it. That's why I think your podcast is so great, Belle, because it's, yeah, we're opening that conversation. And I think that the more people can see people like us talk about it, the better.
Yeah, especially when there's, you know, showing people that you can have an amazing life, you can do really cool things like you have with your career, and at the same time, you can still struggle. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to have this amazing life and live your dreams. I think that's one of my big things, is that
totally,
it doesn't mean that you can't do everything. You can, but you can also experience feeling depressed or anxious, and it sucks, but it's like, can be normal for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's not only that, but also it's like any one of your heroes, whoever's listening, any one of your heroes, if they say they've never fucking been depressed or anxious, they're lying. They're fucking lying.
I know.
And that's why it's so important, because, like, you know, in this age of social media, TikTok or whatever, like highlight on Instagram era that we live in, it's pretty easy to forget that everyone goes through it.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, not one person I've interviewed on this podcast, and I've interviewed some quite big artists as well, no one's not experienced depression, anxiety particularly. Basically everyone I've interviewed on this podcast over the last like 5.5, nearly 6 years, everyone has experienced anxiety, which is pretty, like, just shows you how common it is to experience what I've learned is a very normal human emotion. Some of us just feel it more than others, or, you know, may have an actual anxiety disorder.
Absolutely.
I hope your friend is doing better now. What was their reaction? Did they hear the song? Like, what, did you play it to them? Like, I know that's very personal, and if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But, like, what was was it a really special moment?
It was funny, just because the reaction was not what I expected, because she was kind of still going through the episode. It was kind of like oh, nice song. I was like, thanks. You know, we've talked about the release, and, you know, when I was upcoming to it, and I said to her, I was like, hey, look, like, I am releasing this song. I think it can help so many people. You know, I'll never do anything that you're uncomfortable with, and I just want to make sure that you're okay with X, Y, and Z. And she's a pretty amazing person, and she really wants to help the world in whatever way she can as well. So she said, just go for it. And you know, I'll support you every step of the way. Anyone that can listen to the song, it's a pretty straightforward narrative, and it's just a message of support in times of helplessness for whether what side of the spectrum you're on, trying to spread a message of you can get through this no matter what. No matter what the storm throws at you, you can get through this. Even though the initial reaction wasn't fucking great, the follow-up was pretty wholesome.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, I'm sure. I was like, was it this big, you know, we're probably just expecting that movie moment where maybe it was like really emotional and all like really hard, because like those conversations, like we've said, can be really hard. But hey, look, at least it was like nothing too uncomfortable for you both. So that's all good. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it was nice.
Nice song. Yeah. Yeah. And I really do hope your friend is doing a lot better now. I'm so pleased that, you know, things have turned out better than, you know, you potentially could have had. I know you've also talked about your mental health, which again, we all have mental health, just like we have arms and legs, everybody. You've talked a lot about your mental health over the years. So, you know, like, talk us through that a bit. How are you feeling at the moment? You said you had a panic attack the other day. Are you feeling all good?
Yeah, and generally speaking, I'm blessed to be in a good place right now. But I mean, it's an ongoing journey that never stops, Bell. Like, again, referring what we said before, like, it's just, this is part of the motions of life. And like, I think it really started for me when I was about 15-ish, 15, I think. At school, something happened and it resulted in me not being the most popular of the lads in the year. And it sort of didn't result in bullying, more just like neglected from everyone at school. And when you're at school, like, it's your life, right? Like, you don't know anything outside of school. And so I was super, super depressed, and I had no mates. All my mates were either in different years or at different schools. And so I had basically no mates for the most part. And I was just very depressed, and that sort of resulted in maybe 2 years or so of just being in a horrible place. I was on fluoxetine, I think it was, all of the SSRIs, and nothing was working, so they bumped me up to, I think it was called venlafaxine, which was like, giving a 16-year-old kid this is fucked. Like, it didn't really do anything, and I ended up in hospital trying to go off them cold turkey, because I was getting these like brain zaps, which were like a common sort of side effect from going off these. And like, it felt like I was getting electrocuted just randomly every couple minutes. And so basically I felt after that, like, the SSRIs weren't for me. It sort of started a journey of crossing over into music, and music really helped me and gave me a purpose. And I had my dream of going over to London and being Ed Sheeran 2.0. And that was enough fuel for me to sort of like block out everything for the next few years. And I had a pretty good run for maybe another, up until my first album came out and COVID started to come around. And I think everyone was pretty fucked during COVID. I'd moved over to Aussie, and I was on the last flight before they closed their borders, and I wasn't expecting to be locked in Australia for 9 months, put it that way. And so I guess I was generally quite depressed. And yeah, it's just been this ongoing thing. And I'd say the last sort of time where I would have been in a bad way was after my tour finished last year. I'd been on the road for a year and a half. I can say this, fuck it, I can say this. Basically, I finished the tour, and the promoters and production company had basically stolen all the money that I'd made from the tour. I'd ended up working for a year and a half, and basically for nothing. And I was over music. I had some run-ins with some people I was working with on the creation side of the music as well, and I was just over it. I was pretty depressed, and I was trying to look for another career, basically. I'd called it in, and I was like, I'm sick of music. I'm sick of all the people around music. I don't know what I want to do. I I've achieved every single dream that I set out to as a young kid. What now? Like I feel empty. Again, I just had to refer to the building blocks of the things that I know help me personally, which are, for me, exercise, just crazy exercise basically, is sort of what I base my days around. I was talking to a friend yesterday, actually, from the UK, who's going through a bit of a rough time as well. And I basically described it to him, because he's going through a similar thing, just at a different time, as, you know, like sometimes when you're downloading something on a computer and it'll take ages to get like to like 65%, and then randomly it'll just go to 100 super quick. Niche analogy. Getting to 50 is the hardest when you're in those holes, because you wake up every day and the cloud is still there, the knot's still in the stomach, and there's no passion for anything. But you know that going for a run or whatever your thing is, it might get you 0.5 of the way there. And I just think of it as like stack all these little things. And then one day you get to 50 and then you're like, oh, I still feel a little bit shit, and I still kind of can't figure it out, and the knot's still a little bit there, but I know that I'm feeling tangibly better than I was previously. And then eventually you get to that whatever mark it is where it just starts flying, and then you're back. And that's at least been my sort of experience with it. It's I never like to dwell too hard in it, because I know that if I sit in those thoughts, that's not good. You know, like when I was 16, 17, I attempted suicide twice, because I was just so depressed, and I saw no way out of it. And so I never tend to let myself settle in those areas. I'll basically keep going at these foundations or die trying, and because I know that I'm going to get there eventually. It's going to be a slog. It might even be 6 months. It might be 7 months of feeling like total shit. Every single day, I don't want to be here, this isn't working, blah, blah, blah. But it's just a perseverance thing for me, and finding those building blocks, whatever they are, because I know they'll be different for everyone, but just trying to stick it out.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I have heard you talk about that before, and I'm really sorry to hear that you felt that shit. And I'm really pleased that you're still here, because like we all need you. And like I think when you're young as well, it can be really hard to, because you don't have that context of when you're a little bit older. And I'm not saying that it gets easier as you get older, but I know when you're a teenager, like everything's really intense and you don't know any different. So it's knowing that things are going to get better. And it's not forever.
It's experience. Hey, yeah. Cause like I totally agree with you on that. Cause when I was 16, 17 and going through that first sort of long episode of depression, like you don't know anything else. And I'm so grateful that I went through it and got to basically as close as you can be to being out of here, to know that I can get out of that. And so the first experience is almost, at least in my case, is the most important, because I couldn't have gone any lower. Like I literally tried to kill myself. And so when you're that low and you know that you can make it out, it's good to know in the back of your head when things are getting lower again. It's like, okay, I'm not going to fight this getting lower and try and like climb up this ladder that I'm not going to be able to climb up. It's just knowing that there is a way, and that it might take fucking ages, and it usually does, unfortunately. But yeah, that knowing that you have that way out and that you can do it has been so crucial for me, because when those episodes come, and like they will come, like I know that there's going to be a stage in my life again where I'm feeling like shit, but knowing that you can get out of it and knowing you have the experience to pull from is so crucial. So I guess to anyone who's young listening out there, just know that you can and you will.
Yeah, it's such a complex and very, you know, serious thing. And you knowing now, like you say, you know that you got yourself back from the lowest point ever. Do you feel like you've almost kept using that through hard times a little bit? Because I know that, not that way, but, you know, it can sort of be, I've got through that time, I can get through this. Is that something you think you've been able to use?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bang on. Like I look back and think exactly that, but not only that, you know, being in London and being homeless and like, I actually look back at my younger self and I'm like, you're mad, bro. Like, you are crazy. Like, how the fuck? I wouldn't do that shit now. Yeah, I think we, as humans, we have such a deep well that we can receive from that we don't even know how deep our sort of will goes. Yeah, I think everyone will be so surprised if they really dig deep and they, like, ever since my first, like, suicide attempts, like, it's when I'm, like, down and, like, proper down, like, it's never a thought. Immediately when like, suicidal ideations might come in and the thought might just be like, oh, you fuck this shit or whatever it is, I don't know, personally, it'll never be an eventuation. Like, because I know that if I can be that kid, be depressed as shit, then the next couple of years being homeless and no one listening to me and going to open mics, it's actually a fuckload harder than any of the shit I'm going through now. I guess, well, the way that I look at it, it could always be worse, but it's all only going to get better.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And also at the same time, like, validating your feelings. That's another thing I feel like we do a lot is, oh, someone else has always got it worse. We gaslight ourselves. I have been chronic at it. It's like that. It's probably like toxic positivity, really, where you're like, oh, like, I'm fine, like, even though you're not fine, but because everyone else has got it way worse. And I have had to really learn that, because I just always put, like, even on this podcast, would always put everyone above myself or in front of myself and just make it not, you know what I mean? Like, just probably it's a people-pleasing thing, really, isn't it? And it's just knowing that it's okay to, you know, think about yourself a bit.
Totally. And again, I feel like that's sort of like a like offspring of that New Zealand tall poppy mentality as well. And I've been guilty of it so much as well.
Sounds like you've got some really good coping strategies. So, you know, I guess your life now, even though you're, you know, still living your dream, you're on that artist path and everything, and it's been crazy compared to probably what you were expecting it to be like. How do you think you got yourself through those really rough patches? And I know it was a very long time ago when you were wanting to take your own life. How did music and your dream, is that what got you through?
It was music and it was a couple friends. I'm not saying that this is the way to do it, but my friends would pick me up and we'd go in the car and we'd go to this nice spot and we'd smoke a bit of weed, and it would ease my mind, because home wasn't easy back then. Like, I love my family, but I live alone for a reason. And it was just a very, like, toxic and tough environment to be in. And so my friends were amazing. Like, I only had a couple of them, and they'd pick me up every night after school. I'd bring the guitar out, we'd go to this place, Paratai Drive, which is just nice views of Auckland, and we'd sit outside and I'd just play some music. And it was a very personal thing for me at that time. I hadn't really played in front of anyone, and it was, you know, I thought they were just being nice to me when they said I was good, but it was just enough for me to kind of just take it away from my realities, because my realities at the time were school horrible and home horrible. Yeah, my friends were very, I wouldn't be here without them, put it that way. I remember after I'd attempted the next day, my boys picked me up and we're going off to do the usual, and I don't know what came over me, but I just said to them, I was like, look, like I tried to kill myself last night. And they didn't coddle me and say, oh, bro, or whatever. I remember my best mate, Trent, he just looked at me, he smiled and looked in the back and said, I got you, bro. And that was that. And maybe that's a bit of a New Zealand blokey way of approaching it, and maybe I shouldn't say that's the way of going about it. But for me in that moment, that was enough to know that, fuck, like, I'm all good. I'm all good with these boys. And I didn't attempt after that. Yeah, I'll always be grateful for T for that, because it was so reassuring of just, like, it wasn't a big deal. And it was more just like I love you and I got you. And again, not saying that this is the textbook way that people should be approaching things, but for me it was just a real poignant moment of knowing that there's more to life than these situations that I'm in at school or at home.
Man, you got to really feel for people, hey? Like, I think especially for guys, when things are shit at school and at home, like, far out. Like, what are people's, I really feel for people if they're in, you know, not a supportive or the best environment and they've nowhere to turn. Far out. Like, it's really sad. Hey, like, what are we supposed to do about that? I'm like, how can I fix it? You know?
Yeah. My heart goes out to anyone in similar situations, and especially young blokes, because I can't reason with young blokes these days. Like, I'm not old, but like, I'm from a different generation, and so I don't know what goes on. But if the base is still the same, you know, you're a young kid and school and home isn't good, I don't know if you have to find a third sort of outlet or way of living. But my friends helped so much, and music helped so much, and yeah, I just literally wouldn't be here without them. And it's pretty crazy to think about now. But yeah, I mean, look, if any young kid is going through it, just message me, honestly. Like, I'm not the greatest at getting back, but if I see something pop up that comes on my shit, I'll always do my best to help out. And that's a message that I, like, really want people to hear, is that just because some person is doing this with their life or whatever doesn't mean they're out of touch. Like, if I have that experience in common with somebody, I'm going to empathize with them and give them all of my experience and coping strategies or whatever it is. Like I said, if any youngsters out there, I'm not Justin Bieber big, so my DMs aren't that popping.
Oh, that's really kind of you. And yeah, I'll put links in the show notes of, like, places people can get help. In New Zealand, it's 1737. But yeah, the same. Sometimes I'll scroll through my DMs of people and I'm like, far out. Like, oh, back in 2019, I was giving someone some advice on, like, anxiety stuff. Or, like, I'm like, wow. Like, yeah, I think it's one of those things that if you've experienced it, it's really nice to, at least, I think, as well, if you've experienced something shitty, like feeling depressed, down, anxious, that at least the one good thing about it is it does connect you with others who, and you can help other people. That's probably one thing. It's a blessing and a curse, right? That you can bond with people and help them out. That's one thing. And, like, you know, we're having these conversations because of those experiences.
Totally. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, if we have a platform and we're not trying to help, it's selfish in a way. Like, honestly, I genuinely feel that way. And I was talking to Mealy Kerr, who's in the White Ferns, and she sort of has a platform where she's using to talk about mental health, which I'm doing something with her in the future. And I said the exact same thing to her. It's, what's the point of having this platform if we're just going to, and these experiences that we've had, if we're just going to sit on our ass and do nothing about it? Like, it's selfish if we don't. So, like, I applaud anyone who's brave enough to talk about that shit, because it's like we said before, like, everyone's gone through it. Like, so why are you trying to act like it hasn't?
Yeah. And you've given us so many bits of good advice, even though you maybe think they're not. I mean, yeah, some of them you're like, oh, I'm not saying this is the way to do it. But, you know, if there is someone listening, like, you've been recently in an experience of helping someone else out, how can people help someone out if their friend or someone they love is going through a tough time? What would be some things that, you know, you've learned to do that help others?
A big thing for me is, like, trusting your gut. You know, if someone that you love is in front of you and they're not giving off the usual energy, and you go, are you okay? And they go, you know, I'm fine. I'm just annoying as fuck. And I'll just be like, are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? You don't seem it. Your energy seems a bit down. Are you okay? I pester and pester and pester until either I get back a fuck off, I'm okay. Or eventually, most of the time, if something is wrong, people will eventually go, ah, but there's XYZ. And they'll approach it very lightly at first. And then it's like I was saying, once the floodgates open, then you're sort of in a position where you can talk about it. But I think trusting your gut, because, you know, if you know someone, you love them, even if their vibe's just a little bit off, I still think if you love someone, it's okay to find out what's going on, even if they've gone down from an A+ to a B-. I have, like, a daily checklist, you know, while I was talking about these foundations, and I'll show you.
So cool that you, this is your self-care toolkit. We love it, Mitch. You're all across it.
It is. So, like, I've got my, I don't know, maybe you might be able to flip it around, But like these are like the daily things for me that like are my like daily building blocks. And so you got the like, look at the top, I've got mindfulness, which is pretty self-explanatory.
What do you do for that?
I'll just meditate for 5-10 minutes. Like I have an app on my phone, which is like a daily thing. Which, yeah, just to get the breath work and all of that. Like, admittedly, it's probably the one thing on my list that I need to be a little bit better at.
Nah, I feel you. I'm the same. I'm like, I do it a lot of the time, but then I find it really hard to focus for a long time. So then it's like, you can achieve 1 or 5 minutes. We definitely can do it. It doesn't need to be long. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit and act here like I'm the king of meditation, but it's definitely something I try and do every day. And secondly, I've got prayer, which, you know, I believe in God, so I won't, you know, ring everyone's ear off about that, but that's important to me. I got supplements, stretching, because I'm getting older and sorer. Music, which is, you know, self-explanatory. I need to make sure I'm playing the guitar for, like, you know, at least half an hour every day, just so I'm sharp for my job. And you know, I also love it, and it takes me off to a different place, which is awesome. Work, which is kind of goes hand in hand with the music. Journaling, again, which is pretty self-explanatory. I have like a thing called a high performance planner, which sort of has like what your message for the day wants to be, what you need to do, the times you need to do it, a little self-reflection on at the start of the day and the end of the day, which is great. It's helped me just become a lot more organized. And the next one is physical, just something physical. And the most important one at the bottom is something for someone else, which my mum was always like a massive person about doing something for someone else. It's giving to yourself. Like she used to work at Mercy Hospice, and she started a charity called Race for Life, which is basically like make a wish, but for adults. She's always told me when you're feeling down, doing something for someone else will always make you feel better. And she's not wrong.
Has it sort of been a process of learning what works for you? And like, how, like, I'm very impressed with you, Mitch. Very cool.
Ah, thank you, Val. Yeah, no, it has been a process. Like, I only know that those things help me because of being in the hole so much in the past and knowing that I've felt better, like tangibly felt better after doing this. And when you feel that way physically, it definitely translates mentally. And like, I hate going for runs, but I'll go for one almost every day just because I know that I'm going to feel a lot better. And I think it's about accomplishing something for me. And in turn, after accomplishing something, I feel accomplished. And then it's hard to feel like you're a sack of shit if you're accomplishing things, no matter how big or small. You know, it could be just doing the dishes. Like if you're setting a task, and I know for some people when they're like really in the thick of it, it's, I know what it means literally when you're like, I literally can't get out of bed. I know that you're not exaggerating. I know that you're not lying. Starting small and working up.
Mitch, I'll let you go, sir, because I don't want it just to go for too long. I feel like we could chat about so much more. Maybe we'll have to another time if you're keen. It must be so hard when, I guess we all have a lot of things that are out of our control, but being so young in the industry, and then that must be really, have been really hard.
Yeah, I mean, the industry's been the craziest journey for me. And like, especially because, you know, there was no real like gap or room for growth in my life between being like the kid that got kicked out of home and like was smoking weed all day and with his friends. Like I'd be like, you know, like we'd listen to Wiz Khalifa and look at his day-to-days, which were like this video series of like him just living the life or whatever. And I was like to my boys, I was like, that's going to be us. And so, you know, like you can't, it's embarrassing, but you know, like when I started to like get the success, I'm going to live like that. And the truth of the matter is that that's not a way to live. And I just found out through experience, I was so young, and I thought I wasn't, because like, you know, you see Bieber in the industry at 15 or whatever. I thought I was late, you know what I mean? And I was 20, and now I'm almost 29, and I look back and I'm just like, man, like I honestly like was so unbelievably not ready for what came, because there's so much stuff flying at you that you're not prepared for, you've never heard of before, and you're just kind of winging it. I would say I'm only kind of fully come to terms with the industry, like, maybe last year, like, you know, age 28. Yeah, like, I actually wouldn't really wish the industry upon anyone before the age of 24, 25, because there's just so much crazy shit. And when you come in with the mindset of like a Wiz Khalifa, I'm going to do this the big dog way, it'll chew you up and spit you out. And I mean, like we're saying, I could talk to you for hours about these crazy stories where I've maybe let my ego get too big in this moment, which has resulted in things that weren't so good outcomes for me, which then result in poor mental health. And that's kind of like low key been the story of my journey in the industry. Is every single decision that I've made with that's been thought through and with grace has led me to a good outcome, and everything that hasn't has led me to disasters. Honestly, like, you know, I got caught in a situation with my old label. My first label were incredible, Sony New Zealand, absolutely amazing. And I got poached to the Australian label, and I made every wrong decision that you could make behind the scenes, and got some bad luck in some other areas that it ended up becoming the burden of my entire life for a period of like 4 years. You know, my journey has resulted in, you know, this list as my daily things to make sure I'm on top of myself and keeping grounded and keeping humble. But if you don't have those things, it can go one of two ways. It can go so great and your ego turns into this massive monster and basically you're a bit of a see you next Tuesday. Or it can go the other way and you can be so buried by it all that you just feel horrible, and you can be in a place where I was 6 months ago and be like, fuck this, I don't want to be here. So I think for any musician or anyone who wants to get into entertainment, my advice would be stay grounded and stay you. Keep around the people who will keep you grounded and do the things that you know will keep you in touch with the universe or God or whatever you believe, because that's the only way. There is no other way. All of that glitz and glam, it's all bullshit. Let me fucking tell you, it is all bullshit. Be you. Like, you can still walk the red carpet and fucking do all the glitzy, glammy, Instagrammy things. That kind of rhymed. That was sick. You know, I hope the people that are around me look at me and go, he's a great guy. And instead of like, he's a prick. Yeah, it's so important to stay grounded no matter what and keep those humbling people around you.
Oh, Mitch, thank you so much. Love chatting with you today.
My pleasure.
So good. Yeah, I feel like we could, maybe we'll do a round two if you're keen, because I feel like there's so much more.
We've scratched
the surface. But yeah, thank you so much for what you're doing, your beautiful music. I'm so excited for you and like so glad to hear that you're, you know, feeling better about where you're going and your situation, which at a lot of the time when you are an artist or whatever your situation you're in, you a lot of things you can't control. So it sounds like things are feeling a lot lighter for you now, and you got through it and smashing it. So yeah, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Belle. And yeah, I guess to everyone listening, it's a journey no matter who you are, you know what I mean? And there's always ups and downs on every journey, but you find those things and you stay grounded. Life's good. God is good.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you, one last thing I just thought of, you know, you probably just said it then, but what would you tell younger Mitch? If you could go speak to him now, the teenager who didn't want to be here, that tried to take his own life, that had all these dreams, what would you tell him?
I would say you did it, bro, and more, and more. And I think that and more, I would have never thought was the important part, but to me, it's the only important part now. And yeah, keep going, young boy.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much, Mitch. I'm very excited, and yeah, all the best.
My pleasure, Belle. Thanks so much. Hopefully catch you soon, yeah? And like, take me up on that round too, just whenever.
That's all we've got time for. You can watch videos of this conversation with Mitch on our Self Love Club podcast Instagram. Links are in the show notes. Go follow us there. And the most helpful way you can support us is to subscribe or follow on your podcast app. Hit follow on Apple, Spotify, and select automatic downloads. Leave us a 5-star rating, and if you're enjoying listening, write us a kind review. This all helps other people find us and in the charts, and you can share the links with your friends.
follow us at Self Love Club Podcast on Instagram. I'm at Belle Crawford, Belle_Crawford on TikTok. All the details are in the show notes. Plus, we love seeing where you're listening, so tag us in your Instagram stories. And new episodes are released on Mondays from 5 a.m. New Zealand time. I'll catch you soon. Ellie the most. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.